This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, Metroplex. This is the Hump Day edition.
Hump Day
of Sean and RJ here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. An absolutely loaded Wednesday program to get to here on your home of the Texas Rangers and the Dallas Cowboys. And we start, and we do have to hand out the good with much of the bad that the Cowboys have had thrown their way over the past 2 years. With basically universal praise throughout the National Football League over the deal they got done with Osa Odighizuwa, 4 years, $80 million, 52 guaranteed, according to Jordan Schultz. Odighizuwa, 26 years old, started all 17 games for the Cowboys in each of the past 3 seasons, and he's coming off a career high, 4.5 sacks and 23 quarterback hits. Why, Bobby Belt, is this being praised everywhere?
Because this is ultimately a deal that, on the open market, this should have been a $27 million deal, roughly. And we knew that he was going to take some level of a discount to come back, because if he wanted to be back here, they weren't going to be able to go up to that figure. But this is something that, with the franchise tag being the way that it is, which was $25 million, and the way this is structured, if he would have been tagged twice, it would have been over $55 million is what he would have gotten for back-to-back tags. So instead, what he gets is this deal averages out to $20 a year. They essentially save themselves $15 million over the next 2 years. And if something changes, you know, over the next 2 years where you don't feel great about him anymore, they're going to be in a position to then get out of the deal. So they gave out essentially less in guaranteed money than they would have given out in back-to-back tags, which is what he could have held out for.
So, Choppy, even if you don't think that Osa is worth that type of money, the Cowboys definitely seem to get some savings. They got it done early. Wow. We're not sitting here waiting. No free agency, no deadline, no tag day, no deadlines make deals.
No missing training camp.
No missing training camp. Nice job, Cowboys front office.
Yeah, it's the process of this was much better than the process of Dak or Lamb or even what's going to happen with Micah. Whatever happens with Micah, it's much better.
Well, Florio points out that many teams are now just getting the deals done. I think Schefter had the note that this is the least amount. Only 2 players were tagged this year. That's the fewest number of players tagged since 1994. Teams are trying to get ahead of it a lot earlier. Now, this is maybe a little negative consequence of the Cowboys freeing up even more money with CeeDee Lamb, which we'll get to in a second, but many are labeling this as one of the weaker free agent classes in a while because teams are trying to get their business done.
As they should. I mean, if you want the player, it's better to probably get it done. Now, like the Cowboys have operated under the, it doesn't really matter, the cap's going up regardless. You know, it has shown that, you know, like the Cowboys are in a different, we talked about it yesterday. You know, the Eagles have 13 guys with a contract over $9 million average per year. Cowboys have 7. Well, how are the Eagles able to have all this? And, you know, like they're a much deeper roster than we are, yet they have all these guys with a contract of $9 million or more. How are they doing it? The Cowboys are doing something wrong. Somewhere along the way, they're doing something that, I don't even say wrong, just different. They're not maximizing it the way Philadelphia is.
Ian Rappaport, NFL Network on the Cowboys doing good.
It's actually a fascinating value for the Dallas Cowboys, $20 million a year for Odighizuwa. Consider The one-year franchise tag would have been $25 million, and two franchise tags, which basically is how you work out what a long-term deal should be, would have been $55 million. So basically, the Dallas Cowboys saved themselves about $15 million over 2 years by doing this deal now. There's nothing wrong with the deal for Odighizuwa. He's got big-time security and wealth, but for the Dallas Cowboys, getting this deal done early, doing it now, saves them a ton of money to use elsewhere on the roster.
Mike Garafolo called it stunning over there with NFL media. He said tag players who do long-term deals get a slight bump on their APY. If the Cowboys were truly about to tag Osa at 25, you'd expect a four-year deal north of that. Instead, they get him at 20. Stunning. So why would Osa do this? Comfort in his city. As Nick Harris told us at the Combine, he's setting up all these charity and speaking engagements and events. And to some people, including myself, moving is an absolute B. Number two, cowboy allure. You wear the star on the side of your helmet. You're a bigger name here than you are in Jacksonville. And number three, which I really would look at as a selling point if I was Osa and his agent. The agent, by the way, will join us at 9 o'clock this morning. Thanks to Bobby Roberto Belt, Matt Eberflus. A lot of talk that the three-tech defensive tackle is the engine of this defensive scheme. So they sat Osa down and said, you, my friend, are the focal point. You are what this entire defense is going to be based around, and you are going to be the main cog in the engine. The other thing is, you get the deal done. Now, could you have taken $25 million, gotten $5 million more? Yeah, you go back to the market. You never know what happens in terms of injury. Are you going to have as good of a year? Lock it in. Get it done. You don't have to move. Star on the side of your helmet. And Matt Eberflus telling you, just a theory of mine, that you're the main guy. It starts with you up front.
Yeah, he's going to have a career year in 2025. Just the way that this defense is set up with what Aaron Whitecotton wants to do on the defensive line, what Matt Eberflus wants to do with the three technique position. Eberflus has talked about it before. The three technique is more important to him than any spot on defense in terms of being for the disruption factor and the things he likes to do to get the three technique upfield. It's very similar to what Rod Marinelli's always wanted to do. And so Osa is going to be a guy who probably sets a number of career highs next year. So you're probably either going to have to get a long-term extension done or tag him again, depending on if you get something done with Deron Bland and get something done with Micah Parsons. By the way, I think Deron Bland is going to be next. I think that is going to get done before Micah does. But I think that if you ended up having to tag him again, this was going to cost you more money. He was going to put up better numbers, I think, in this Eberflus system, and he was going to become a more valuable player. He's still just 26. I mean, it's not like he's pushing 30 or anything like that. And I mean, I think universally, this is a good deal for the Cowboys, and it's a good deal for the Cowboys because Osa wanted it to be a good deal for the Cowboys. He wanted to make sure he could be here.
Number two, the Cowboys restructured CeeDee Lamb's deal to save $20 million this offseason. Lamb commented on social media and said, quote, I want to win. It's going to take more than just myself. So there's $20 million more freed up. And you add C.J. Goodwin to a one-year deal on top of that yesterday, and Manny Tolo's happy with Frisco.
Yeah, does this push $20 million 3 years from now? Is that how that works?
No, yeah, on the table, on the salary cap table. This is yesterday, people, and I love C.D. I genuinely think C.D. is one of the most important players, not only on the field, but in the locker room. This whole, like, look at what a great teammate CD is. These restructures are, they literally lose no money.
Yeah. You're moving the money from the left pocket to the right pocket.
It's just it's an accounting trick. That's all they're doing. And so everybody, like, I saw somebody tweet yesterday at Archer, and they're like, good on CD, so unselfish. Let's see if Dak is willing to do the same. And Todd's like, he has and he will, because that's, there's
guess
no
what, Dak
reason
is about,
not to.
Dak is about to do the same when they flip his switch.
Exactly. His cap hits $90 million. You're not going into the year with that. So, yeah, it doesn't, none of this changes anything for the players. It just gives the team cap relief, which they eventually have to pay for.
So why did they free up 20 mil?
I mean, you look at what they did with Osa just now. They were going to have to free up money there on the fact that they were planning on tagging him. And then when they get the deal done, they still need to free up resources to move around. They've got a bunch of contracts going up this year, even on guys who are under contract. So player performance bonuses, guys who made Pro Bowls, different things like that. Deron Bland's contract is going up by like $4 million. Jake Ferguson's going to go up by two or three. Jalen Tolbert.
Focus more so first on taking care of your own versus going out with a big splash.
Yeah, this is just trying to make sure that you haven't maxed out your credit cards. Like you're just accounting and changing some stuff around. Now, I do think that they'll be looking, they'll be doing their typical shopping, but it's going to be their typical shopping the way that they shop.
Selectively aggressive.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it may be $5, $6 million players or something like that, but they've got to have money available and flexibility to do things that they need to do. And like I said, they're going to have Parsons that they're looking at on a deal. Bland, you know, he's eligible for it. We haven't even talked a bit about Tyler Smith. And I think that's probably because you have so many other pressing needs. I wouldn't imagine he gets done until next year unless he wants to take some massive break or give them some massive cut. But I mean, otherwise they've got a lot of money that they have to shift around to be able to dole these contracts out and to take these hits.
All right. As Bobby alluded to in his combine notebook that was emptied Monday during the expressway, John Machota says the Cowboys are not prioritizing a running back with their 12th pick. Though running back is one of Dallas's biggest needs, it does not sound like they view it as their top priority at number 12. So Bobby referenced it, and now John Machota coming out with that message.
I mean, I'm fine with it.
I'm
fine with it. It's, you know, this year would have been a splashy pick. But I'm fine with it overall. You know, there are... I love the receiver in the first round. I generally love a receiver in the first round. I don't know this year that's where I would go, though. You know, there's places that you can go this year. But if you're not going to take a running back in the first round, I'm not going to freak out about it. If you're not going to take the defensive line, I'm not going to freak out about it. Like, there's two options, your best player available or need. You know, I think when you have a need on the offensive line, that's where you should target regardless if it's best or not.
They have more than enough needs. The best player available will probably be something they need anyway.
Yep.
And so, you know, however that breaks out, if that's Genty, if that's Tetaro McMillan from Arizona, the receiver, if that ends up being Walter Nolan, the defensive tackle from Ole Miss, like, wherever they end up saying this is our best player, they're probably going to say, well, we needed that anyway, so we can move forward. But Genty, I think, is... There's this a little bit of a misconception, I think, that because the Cowboys took Zeke at 4 in 2016, that the Cowboys have just always valued running back higher than everybody else. The reality is they made that pick and they paid him, but they viewed him as unique. They don't generally just go like, well, yeah, I would want to pick whoever the best running back is at 8 or anything like that. So I think what they're going through right now is the evaluation process of is Ashton Genty good enough to break rules that we have? Because Zeke is Genty.
But that was also kind of before we totally punted on the running back position.
Well, the team hadn't, like, we thought they had already done that because they got rid of DeMarco. They didn't sign him. You know, a lot of the league had already kind of gravitated towards that. But also, that was kind of their Saquon this year with the Eagles. It was a finishing piece to a team that they thought was the same as 2014 because Romo was going to be healthy. And they're like, all right, you know what? We got an aging Romo. Let's go all in here.
Yes.
You know, it's understandable. I didn't agree with it, but I understood the line of thought.
And they thought he was generational. And to be fair, the first year, three years, he was. I mean, Zeke was incredible the first 3 years. He broke down. That's what happens with the position, and that's what makes them go, all right, we learned. And now they're asking themselves the same question with Genty. Like, all right, is he somebody who we worry about breaking down with the workload and the physicality?
So there's your Inside the Star recap. Today is Zach Martin Day. Bobby will be out there, Ford Center at the Star in Frisco, for the Zach Martin retirement press conference. Jerry Jones, we think, is going to speak and explain why he did not talk at the Combine in Indianapolis. And thanks to everyone sending in the messages, we are aware of some type of static issue that is apparently taking place over the speakers. All the Tolos, including TR, J.O. Choa, letting us know. Brian Broaddus is texting me this morning. The bosses are about to be made aware with a phone call in the commercial break. But the fallout from the Kyrie injury, it is time to shut everyone down. Luka update from last night. Did he keep it going in L.A. and the Dallas Stars on ice? That's all next for the 6 a.m. Club with the Hump Day Edition.
Hey.
Bet that sounded good with the static. Next on The Fan.
Luka was thinking about it again. He shoots those with his training set. His half-court shots. Here he is again.
The Don, Lakers TV with the call. Being told by the big boss man, Gavin Spittle, the static issue is fixed thanks to Chris Ordat, Pepe on top of it, and you, most importantly, for letting us know and hopefully sticking with us for the second segment of the 6 a.m. Club of the Hump Day Edition.
Hey,
Sean and RJ, along with Cowboys insider Bobby Bell on 105.3 The Fan. Luka with 30 points. He went off in the first quarter, said he has to improve his dance celebration as his default is going to skips down the sidelines. 30 points for Luka, 15 assists, 8 rebounds, 6 threes made, plus 37 for the game, and the Lakers continue to roll by beating the Pelicans last night. And a quick little message for like the 4 listeners who have a problem with the consistent daily Luka updates. It's not going to stop, guys. Come on. And it's probably going to happen for the next 12 years. Every time he plays a game, I'm going to be looking at what happens in Los Angeles. Every time he does something, he's now giving us a reason to pay attention to the playoffs because the Dallas Mavericks are not going to be there. Yes, I'm sorry to let you know there will be a Luka watch every single day. Adjust your listening and social media habits accordingly. That's what is taking place.
We did Randy Moss watch for years. We still do TJ Watt watch. And this is somebody who is actually here. So, yeah, you're going to keep an eye on it for a while. And the Lakers are a different team since he got there.
The Lukers.
But I'm so pissed that the Don has become this stupid nickname, though. That's the worst part of the Luka era Lakers is just the stupid nickname that I guess LeBron picked up on from the first 3 pages he read of Mario Puzo's The Godfather.
What do they call him? La Luka Brončić? That's what that's what they call the two. Those two combined for 64, 21, and 16 or whatever last night.
The only players in Laker history with 30 or more points, 5 or more rebounds, 10 or more assists, and 5 or more threes in a game. Kobe, Magic, Bron, and now Luka.
Yeah, here's the thing. It's like, he's still ours, and that's why it's still a story.
Well, now, he is ours.
Yeah, he is. I still take pride every time he puts up a big number for the Lakers. I still take pride. He was ours first, and it's the girl you didn't want to lose. She left. You know, extenuating circumstances here. You know, she didn't leave because she wanted to. Something, Matt, you forced her out, you realize it was a mistake, and you still keep tabs.
You know, this is Prince Charles.
I don't know what that means.
Prince Charles bailing on Diana.
What do you mean you don't know what that means? That's your wheelhouse.
It is, but the Royals. I don't like Prince Charles. I'm not a fan. I was Queen Elizabeth.
Right. The Mavericks are Prince Charles. Nico is Prince Charles, and he just, Diana, I'll discard you.
You know what?
I got Camilla here.
That's a great point, because the British tabs were still all over Diana.
And they loved her. The whole country loved her. And they're like, what the hell are you doing? Why isn't she in Buckingham Palace?
Right.
We're sitting here wondering, why isn't Luka in the AAC?
Shams making things even more painful with a Laker-Luka update. We were holding out some type of hope. He wouldn't like the Flash. He wouldn't like the paparazzi. He wouldn't like Hollywood.
No.
He wouldn't like all that Laker purple and gold glory.
He do.
Shams says he do on McAfee.
In talking to people on Luka Doncic over the last 72 hours. I was at that Lakers-Clippers game on Sunday.
Well,
he had no intention ever of leaving Dallas. He had just bought a new home in Dallas for a lofty, lofty price. He did not want to go anywhere. You think of a player coming from abroad, they're very committed, they're loyal, and that's how he viewed himself with the Mavericks. It's like one team, one city forever. And I think that's going to carry over to the Lakers. I think he's loving his time in LA. I think he's loving how the Lakers, you think about what the Lakers brand is, it's like treating stars like stars. It's Hollywood. It's making the star players bigger than life. And that's what we're going to see with Luka Doncic.
Made me think right there, okay, just draft nothing but foreign players. They'll never want to leave.
Well, Nico never do that.
No.
You keep alluding to something. Just say it.
He's Draymond Green.
I said the other day, last week. I said, he just doesn't like the lifestyle, the culture. He keeps referencing Kobe every time. You know, the lifestyle of a European basketball player is like, I have an off season. That off season is spent with horses. It's spent with alcohol. It's spent with hookahs. He just doesn't get. He doesn't like. The I don't lifestyle. Believe the European way of life.
Yeah, like we all watch different highlight cutups on YouTube or whatever. Like, oh man, look at how good. Like he just watches highlight cutups of Draymond Green beating on Europeans. That's Nico's favorite highlight. Yeah, to watch.
He doesn't want to see like you in the off season. Having fun. He wants to see you in an empty gym with only one light on. Just one light.
All right. I do have a little positive. This is looking for a silver lining here for the rest of the Mavericks season. How high of a draft pick can they get? It's time to shut everyone down. Everyone. Anthony Davis should not see the floor again. PJ Washington, you may have to throw him out there, but Gafford, Lively, keep them all away from the floor and lose out.
Crater,
lose out, period.
Crater for Cooper. Fall for Flag.
Oh, you already got the...
Oh, whatever. We got to come up with something better than that.
Gosh, Flag.
Poop for Coop.
No, God. No, stop. Don't even try to start that one. I Cooper Flag's good. Like, I mean, it's not going to reset your franchise, I don't think.
Bobby... We need a little bit of hope.
We don't know.
I know. You got to add something.
We don't know.
We need a little bit of hope. By the way, Sham says that is a possibility that we have seen the beginning and the end of Anthony Davis this season.
Called it.
Shut him down. Well, this is a little different.
I called it less than 24 hours ago. I'm taking credit.
This is a little bit different.
I'm planting my Cooper flag.
Just like you said, it'd be 40 degrees when we walked out of the building.
The wind was correct, though.
You were one
50%.
Of 50%.
If I was hitting .500 in Major League Baseball, I'd be
Hall of Fame.
I didn't hear any sirens this morning, Bobby. No wind.
And if the NBA, if the NBA had any soul, they would gift the Mavericks the first pick with Cooper Flagg. Like the NBA is looking at this right now, and they're recognizing, okay, this whole thing is screwed up. We are about to lose the fourth biggest market of a fan base, and you can't lose that. And they knew the Knicks fan base was dead in the water in 1984 or whatever. And here's the cold envelope. Here's the cold envelope for the Knicks. The creased corner. You got to do that.
We all agree to shut everyone down.
Shut them down.
Right?
Shut them down.
There's no reason anymore to watch the Dallas Mavericks season. Period.
Period.
There's no reason whatsoever.
It's star season, baby.
Shut them down and keep them out. Do you agree?
Yeah, they absolutely need to shut it down. This is one of their last bits of draft capital they have for an extended period of time. So, yeah, they absolutely need to do it.
Hang on. They got one from, 2031 or
yeah, that's going to be great. I'm so excited about that one. 214 says, because you're poop for Coop, that's not going to work. 214, capture the flag.
Oh!
That's pretty great.
Oh, it's good.
Love it. Kyrie Irving took to Instagram yesterday to react to all the love he's been getting from Mavs fans and talk about how painful this injury is.
Just wanted to hop on here and say thank you to everybody for my family's way. And yeah, this one hurts for sure. It hurts. It's painful to deal with this, at this point. But at the same time, how I've been built, not only by my bloodline, but just how I've been building myself over the last few years, dealing with pain and suffering is just as important as dealing with all the positivity and things that go on and the happiness that you want. Accepting what comes with all of this is the next aspect for me. So I just wanted to take this time out. I don't want to get long-winded on here. I just want to take the time out to thank each and every one of you that tweeted me or sent something on Instagram or sent something on any of the social media channels. If you texted me, I just wanted to say thank you so much. And it doesn't go unnoticed.
This is not your typical horrific Mavs PR move, but it's nonetheless an annoying one. Nico Harrison released a statement on Kyrie Irving out for the year, and he had to once again refer to his obsession, Kobe Bryant, in the reaction. Quote, Kyrie's work ethic and absolute dedication to his craft. It's cut from the cloth of greats. I know it. I lived it. and I see the same ferocity and passion in him that I saw in Kobe. Bobby, take it away.
I mean, this is, I still think this is a terrible PR move. Like, you couldn't muster up any sort of compassion or whatever the word is to show Mavericks fans that you were empathetic or with them in any sort of way with the Luka Doncic trade. And then you sit out here and write a damn eulogy like somebody died for the injury. And I understand everybody's upset about the injury, but it's like, it's just the juxtaposition again of like, it feels to me anyway, a very intentional and public, here, I'm going to show you how much I love Kyrie and how Kyrie's the standard compared to that bum over there that we traded. And the dear God, can you stop invoking Kobe?
Yeah.
Your obsession with Kobe is out of control. Like, I mean, it genuinely has, it makes you an incompetent general manager if you spent so much time with Kobe that you can't get him out of your head for any comparison you make, because that means you're going to be awful comparing in terms everyone. Of the way that you compare him.
Just, it's a lack of awareness about also, like, the city and the team. Like,
yes.
Just say Dirk. Just,
not a Laker.
Just say Dirk's name. I'll give you an example. When Lane Kiffin went to Tennessee, he came from Oakland with the Raiders, but he was a USC guy. All right. Now, USC has a larger history than Tennessee does, but it's not like we had nothing. He took down all the photos and posters of Tennessee. Peyton Manning, Reggie White. He put up Reggie Bush and Matt Leinart in the hall, in the athletes hall. Like, what?
Here's OJ.
Yeah. What kind of lack of awareness? Like, it's not like. UConn football.
No Texas Rangers authority should be comparing anyone to the Yankees or the Astros.
Exactly. But you got Nolan Ryan. You got Pudge.
Yes.
You got a million players. Like, compare to them. Like, you don't just have your own history.
This is
Nico doesn't understand that.
Yeah, that's the nitpicky thing. Like, couldn't this have been a good opportunity, even if it would have been seen as you're trying to pander? Couldn't have been a good opportunity to instead at the end throw, like, just like, past legends here in Dallas, like Dirk Nowitzki, Kyrie has embodied blah, 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 where it's like you could have just laid out Dirk's legacy, get like, hey, let's correct what Dumont didn't do, where he screwed up and didn't show Dirk any love. I'll do it in this statement about Kyrie. And we'll say, like, well, that's the guy that needs comparing to Dirk, and we'll get a chance to praise him. No, instead, he again invokes somebody from Los Angeles.
Shut it all down and see how high we can get with one of the few draft picks left for the very near future. Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, and Bobby Bell with you on DFW Sports Station. Did you stay up for the speech last night? Choppy did, and he has some hot takes and thoughts next on the home of the Cowboys and Rangers, 105.3 The Fan.
8 seconds left. Here's Harley. Let's go!
That's the call from ESPN Plus. Good morning, Metroplex. Sean and RJ with you. Thomas Harley scored with 5 seconds remaining in the game as the Stars spoil a New Jersey comeback and beat the Devils 4-3 at the AAC. The Stars have now won 6 straight at home. 3 hottest Stars had another great night. Hintz had a goal and 2 assists. Wyatt Johnston had a goal and an assist. Robo had 2 assists. The Stars next take on the Flames tomorrow night at the AAC to end the homestand.
Yeah, and you get down here, we're in the final 20 games or so, and you start, like, you'll start having these matchups where, like, the Stars are pretty set in their playoff. Like, they're in. Like, they don't really have a massive worry about missing. The Devils, on the other hand, you know, only about 4 points clear of being in the playoffs. So this was a big game for them. They fought back to tie it. But you know that you're a tremendous team when you could play a game against a team that really, really needs it. It's a quality team, and you still come out on top, even though you did blow a 2-goal lead in the third.
Good job, Pepe. The static. The static.
Wow, really? It was 67-33?
Static is overriding Bobby's hockey take and opinion. So you had the Stars last night. You had Luka with another win in L.A. over the Pelicans. And you also had the speech.
The speech. Yes, it wasn't a State of the Union. That's done in January usually. And plus, you don't have a State of the Union when you're on the job for I don't know, 40 days or whatever, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, whatever it is.
But I'll tell you this, the State of Our Union, whenever that is, will be strong. I know that. Every single one of them start, the State of Our Union is strong.
That's right. They always, it's always, sometimes with this guy, it's more of a campaign speech than others.
And a recap.
But it was long, the longest one in history. It was 2 hours. Almost two, like it ended at 10 o'clock, and I don't think it started right at 8.
Yeah, I was sitting there, look at, first I thought it was at 7, so I'm all prepared. I get in bed, I get my work done, kids asleep, and I'm sitting there. With my drink in hand.
Yeah.
No, it's 8 o'clock Central. All right, we'll watch one show. We'll try to squeeze that in. Switch on over. Set the alarm, 7:58, 8:05, 8:10, 8:15, 8:17. It felt like this started.
Yeah, it's about when it started. And it felt like the Royal Rumble right off the start.
Concerned a disruption of proper decorum, the chair now directs the sergeant-at-arms to restore order.
Yeah, they threw Al Green out.
The Democrat from Texas, Al Green, stands up. He's pointing. He's yelling. He's screaming. And they had to call the bouncers.
And they had to call the bouncers. And this is the second year in a row we've seen this. I think it was last year, maybe the year before. But Marjorie did the same. She called Biden a liar. Remember that? She yells out, you're a liar.
She went and put on her red hat yesterday.
Man, and that's like... The lack of decorum that we have now. Like, Marjorie, that was uncalled for last year. Al, that was uncalled for. You're the House of Commons. You're the House of Representatives. Like, have some... Marjorie, take your stupid hat off. You're in that Congress. Al, sit down. Shut up. Put your cane down. Nancy,
stick to singing now.
Nancy, wake up. Fetterman, put a suit on. Rosa, you have purple hair. You're in the House of Representatives. Undye your hair. You're not in a My Chemical Romance cover band. Elon, the way you clap, it's freaking me out. You look weird. Stop. Put your signs down.
The signs.
You're not in a ball game.
Yeah, the signs. I'm like, who came up with these signs? Elon steals, lie or something. Yeah. They're all holding them. Okay, so
Donald, stop with the bronzer.
Dude,
we get it.
It is Idiocracy now. It's the movie Idiocracy with President Camacho, where it's a Mike Judge movie that says Luke Wilson goes like 100 or 500 years in the future, and when he gets there, he finds out like basically the Hulk Hogan of his time has been elected president, and they all do. It's this rowdy scene whenever they're delivering State of the Union, and they all. That's what it is today. That's what it's been for years now from both sides. That's what we get now.
Can someone on the fan text let me know and give me a little political education on whether they always sit split, but more importantly,
they always sit split.
Okay,
yeah, they always sit.
But split. More importantly. Have we ever had a speech where one side just never, ever, ever stands up? Like, you yes. could feel... Like,
I'm sure we have. I mean, we've had them, yes.
The now, venom in the room
yeah.
with just one side standing up with applause every 5 seconds and the other side sitting there trying to stay awake, holding up their signs.
Yeah, it's we've never had stuff like with the signs, I don't think. I mean, they've had it before, like, where... all the women in the the Democrats have all worn white 1 year. Last year they all wore pink, right? They all kind of color coded. We've seen kind of camaraderie within each party. I don't know that we've seen it like that much, where like they refuse to stand up at all.
Yeah,
I know. I saw some stuff on social media. I didn't notice it that they didn't even stand up for the cancer survivor kid. I didn't see that.
I'm
sure
Clay
that.
Travis called that out.
I just say
maybe had.
I'm at a point right now where it's like I'm gonna broad brush you a little bit, and if I find out you means. Are a politician or you have aspirations to be a politician, I don't think I'd like hanging out with you. I don't think I'd like being around you because I think
you
all
didn't
of
even
them
watch
are,
it.
That's right because we're at that point. I'm not saying I'm at that point. Like last night was all. Ignore whatever's happened over the last several years. I'm saying in general, that's where it's gotten to where I don't even want to watch the whole theater and the over the top pageantry of it all.
I recorded the post game. That's all I want to do when I go.
Oh,
get home.
Yeah.
I want to see Scott Jennings fight with Axelrod. They were fighting in the pregame.
They were.
With the buildup.
They were.
And I want to see the post game.
It's, like, can we stop with it's you've You don't have to campaign anymore. We don't need the campaigns.
I won by such and such. I know. I dominated. I killed these states. Biden sucks. I'm just like, all right, we know what happened with the recap. We knew Inauguration Day when you recapped it. I had to recap it again.
I do appreciate that he has just gone into a comedy routine. Like I always have loved. I love anarchy. I love chaos as long as it's other people's chaos.
Yeah.
So I laugh. I laugh during half that, like, but it's like a sad laugh too.
Because it kind of is our chaos.
It is kind of our chaos. It is a sad laugh. Like, every time he says Gulf of America, I'm like, oh my God.
You love it.
I'm getting Gulf a hat. I've already ordered the hat that says Gulf. But it's just funny. Like, I find that funny. It's so stupid. It's so fifth grade. It's like, oh, I'm just going to change the name because I can.
What about
it's like the Texas strip steak.
Yeah.
I'm just going to change the name because I can. So stupid.
Dan Patrick wants to rename the New York strip the Texas strip because Texas has 12.2 million head of cattle, the most in America. And he asked all the cattle raisers their favorite cut. And a few said New York strip. So why is it the Texas? Why isn't it the Texas strip?
Like,
so there you go.
Couldn't a restaurant just not rename it themselves without having a law? Do we need to waste time? Do we need to waste the paper? Like, how long does this take to get through Congress? Like, that it's gonna take how many votes?
Yeah.
How much money do we have to spend? This whole thing is a bit. All of it's a bit.
Any other observations? You stayed up for the whole thing?
I stayed up for the whole thing. You know, one more. I would like to have one where there are no applause.
I know.
Where we just get through it.
Yeah.
That speech could have been whittled down to about 4 minutes.
Yeah.
We don't need the three words and then a pause and then you're supposed to applaud. You're like, oh, yay.
That will never stop.
It will never stop.
We need like the reverse like studio audience sign saying no applause. Like, stay seated.
Yeah.
Stay seated. Because that's what I can't take. No matter who's speaking.
Doesn't matter.
Just the consistent interruptions. Up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. Applause. But hey,
I mean, half these Congress people are 75 years old. They got to get up that many times.
It's their cardio. It's what keeps them going.
The joints are probably going.
All right. Let us know if you watched and your observations. If so, on the Frank LaFrego injury attorney text line at 877-881-1053. 877-881-1053. A couple of other Cowboy notes from yesterday. Bobby, Brandon Aubrey surgery?
Yeah, I don't know how you hurt your shoulder bad enough that you need surgery as a kicker. He looked fine when we saw him, but he did have it covered up by that big Bounty paper towel jacket. He may have been concealing it. Only thing I can figure is this is what happens when you carry a team on your shoulders for 18 weeks. And that the weight of that just must have done some stress fracture or something along those lines, I think. But yeah, he did have shoulder surgery yesterday. So in a busy day of Cowboys news, he'll apparently be ready for offseason programs. I wonder how much that would limit you. Like, would that be any sort of a hitch in his, like, could you play with, I mean, he clearly seemed to be able to play with a busted shoulder, but I wouldn't think it would cause an issue, but bad enough that he needed surgery, so in a lot of pain.
Oh, we forgot one more thing in addition to all the craziness and the Texas strip, the $100 bill. We forgot that real quick.
Oh my God, that's Bobby's.
Yeah, there is a congressman, a Texas congressman, actually, Brandon Gill. Brandon Gill is introducing legislation because he wants to take famed syphilis patient Benjamin Franklin off of the $100 bill, and he wants to put Donald Trump on there instead. So we're going to be getting rid of pennies. We're going to be taking Ben Franklin off the $100 bill. This is the most currency evolution I've ever seen in my lifetime, if it happens. I doubt this one happens. But
I will say this about Donald Trump, like or dislike, I do like to isolate certain things that people have accomplished, whether it's good or bad. And what he has done in instilling the absolute fear in everyone to step to him, it's something I would like to study. You know, like getting your messages across, the whole repeat a statement three times, let it sink in, brain control, brain power. You know, we can try to utilize some of that on the radio. But the amount of ass kissing and shoe shining that everyone does towards him because of the outright fear to say anything against him publicly, because you're going to get destroyed either by him or the followers. It's something I've taken note of.
It is, like, it's going to be interesting, like, what happens, like, because that the politics have completely changed. It's going to be boring. It'll be more stable. It'll be more stable, but it's gonna be boring.
Well, I mean, the last 4 years, there was plenty of not boring over the last 4 years, yeah, too. It's just the around. Entire, but I mean, no, that's just the entire, to me, that's the entire complex and makeup of, yeah. of what it is now. That's the entire makeup of politics.
It's got, you have to be WWE, like to be elected now. That's what's changed.
Stock market, not doing well yesterday. We got a tariff war, all these things taking place. And I'm going to go home and watch the recap right after the Wednesday edition of Sean and RJ here on DFW Sports Station. Thanks for being a total. That stands for turn it on, leave it on. Bobby thinks that the Eagles just made a Saquon mistake, and we got to figure out which star receiver that's available could be the best fit. The other moves happening around the National Football League, could the Cowboys benefit after a very productive and nice day yesterday? It's Zach Martin Day, and we continue it on the home of the boys, 105.3 The Fan.